Hello. From Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the story of BitCon, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robay,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeart Media. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to the one and only Ryan Seacrest.
Love the connection to people. I think at the core, what I get excited about, what gets me up in the morning, is connecting with people in an unscripted, unvarnished way. It's getting to say something to them, hear back from them, know that I'm part of the routine, and I look forward to getting on the air. I look forward to it.
In these exciting times, we're looking to the math, the strategy and analytics, and the magic, the creative spark, more than ever. Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcast.
Welcome to Brainstuff, a production of iHeartRadio.
Hey, Brainstuff, Lauren Vogelbaum here. On November 1st of 1952, a team of American scientists working for the U.S. military threw the switch on a strange three-story structure codenamed Ivy Mike. It was the world's first hydrogen bomb, a new breed of nuclear weapon that was 700 times more powerful than the atomic bombs they had deployed during World War II. The bomb test took place on a tiny atoll named Inuwetok in the Marshall Islands of the South Pacific. When Ivy Mike was detonated, it released 10.4 megatons of explosive power, which means it was roughly the equivalent of 10.4 million tons of TNT. The bomb dropped in Hiroshima, for comparison, produced just 15 kilotons. The explosion utterly vaporized the atoll and produced a mushroom cloud 3 miles or 5 kilometers wide. Workers in protective suits gathered fallout material from a neighboring island and sent it back to Berkeley Lab in California for analysis. There, a team of Manhattan Project researchers, led by Albert Ghiorso, isolated just 200 atoms of a brand new element containing 99 protons and 99 electrons. In 1955, the researchers announced their discovery to the world and named it after their scientific hero. It's called Einsteinium. Einsteinium occupies atomic number 99 on the periodic table, in the company of other very heavy and radioactive elements like californium and berkelium. Some such elements, notably uranium, exist in meaningful quantities on Earth. At 2.8 parts per million, there's more uranium underground than gold. But others, including einsteinium, are too unstable to be found in nature. All of our samples of them have been synthetic. That is, created artificially by doing something like exploding a hydrogen bomb or slamming subatomic particles together in a reactor. When we think of radioactivity, we often think of the effect that it has on us, how radium or uranium can make us very sick. That's because of the type of subatomic particles or waves that they give off as they break down on an atomic level. So, what makes an element radioactive? In the case of einsteinium and its neighbors at the bottom of the periodic table, it's the sheer size of their atoms. For the article this episode is based on, How Stuff Works spoke with Joseph Glatch, a pharmaceutical chemist who has worked extensively with other radioactive elements used for medical imaging. He explained, when elements get to be a certain size, the nucleus of the atom becomes so large that it disintegrates. What happens is that it spits out neutrons and/or protons and electrons and decays down to a lower elemental state. So, you get two effects out of this process. First, you have those subatomic particles, or electromagnetic waves, that the element emits. These can be alpha particles, beta particles, gamma rays, or other types of radiation. Some types are relatively harmless, while others can inflict damage on human cells and DNA. Second, as the element breaks down, you wind up with different isotopes of the element. Isotopes are forms of an element that have different atomic weights. An atom's atomic weight is the number of protons plus neutrons in its nucleus. Just for example, the einsteinium collected in the South Pacific in 1952 was an isotope called einsteinium-253, which has 99 protons and 154 neutrons. But these isotopes don't last forever. They each have a different half-life, which is the estimated time for half of the material to decay into a new isotope or a lower-numbered element altogether. Einsteinium-253 has a half-life of just 20 and a half days. Uranium-238, on the other hand, has a half-life of 4.46 billion years, which explains why it's the most common isotope of uranium found in nature. It has major staying power. One of the hard things about synthesizing heavy radioactive elements like einsteinium in the lab, and by lab we mean highly specialized nuclear reactors, is that such large atoms start to decay very quickly. Glatch said, as you create bigger and bigger elements and isotopes, it gets more and more difficult to keep them around long enough to see them. That's why there was so much excitement recently in the chemistry world when a team of scientists successfully held on to a sample of short-lived einsteinium long enough to measure some of the chemical properties of this ultra-rare element. The scientists, led by a team out of Berkeley Lab, waited patiently for a tiny sample of einsteinium-254 produced by the Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee. The sample weighed in at 250 nanograms. That's just 250 billionths of a gram. It had a half-life of 276 days. When the COVID-19 pandemic hit in 2020, the research was sidelined for months, during which 7% of the sample degraded every 30 days. Their breakthrough was the creation of a molecular claw, so to speak, that could hold a single atom of einsteinium-254 in place for long enough to measure things like the length of its molecular bonds and at what wavelength it emits light. Both of these measurements are critical to understanding how einsteinium and its heavy cousins could potentially be used for things like cancer treatment in the future. Today's episode is based on the article Scientists Unlock Secrets of H-Bomb Element Einsteinium on HowStuffWorks.com, written by Dave Ruse. BrainStuff is a production of iHeartRadio in partnership with HowStuffWorks.com and is produced by Tyler Klang. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
I'm Johnny B. Goode, the host of the podcast Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon. This podcast dives deep into the story of Ray Trapani and his company, CentraTech. I'll explore how 320-somethings built a company out of lies, deceit, and greed.
I've been saying since a very young age that I was going to be a millionaire. If someone's like, oh, what's your best way of making money? I'm like, oh, we should start some sort of scheme.
Listen to Creating a Con, the Story of BitCon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances. Whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death, we all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.